The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' Then he said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you all hear me? Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's good to hear those joyful noises, so please don't feel stressed. I hear often, "Don't judge me," usually by young mothers or friends who are battling judgment by others on how they are raising their children in a world full of law about breastfeeding, Pinterest, electronic babysitting, and social media in a society that is ever increasing in demands and lacking in offering much grace. Their social media confession to a friend prefaced by "Don't judge me" seems to stem from a world of self-righteous justification, lacking knowledge of either God's law and or God's grace in Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sin. Today's gospel reading in Luke has Jesus lifting up the law as important to a life of interdependency that God calls us to, a life in which we are interdependent on each other to be God-bearers of mercy and grace, which God first gives the Jews and then followers of Jesus as they see the fulfillment of a merciful and gracious God in Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sin. The rich man who feasted sumptuously in today's gospel but ignored the plight of Lazarus, who was hungering and hoping for mercy at his gate, failed to hear and obey the Abrahamic faith and law of Moses and the prophets that have always called God's covenant people to have compassion on the poor, and therefore found himself suffering in Hades, or the place of the dead, as translated from the Greek. In his suffering, he saw a crack in the place of the dead when he looked up, and he saw that Abraham and Lazarus was with him. In a reversal of roles, he begged Abraham to send Lazarus, whose name means God helps, to have mercy on him by having Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. But Abraham, whom the man claimed to be his father, responded to his agony with this: "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." This chasm or division that the rich man was unable to cross, perhaps caused by his ignoring of the law, therefore, he was unable to reconcile with those he harmed, and Lazarus in particular. Realizing what he had done when it was too late and unable to do anything to relieve his own agony, he wished to save his five brothers from it, asking yet another act of mercy be done by the one whom he harmed, having ignored his plight. And he asked that Abraham would send Lazarus to his brothers to warn them of the consequence of death for ignoring God's law. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." For whatever reason, the rich man responds to Abraham's command to listen to the law of Moses and the prophets, "No." Then he proceeds to insist that there must be another way to get his brothers to turn from their sin of ignoring the poor. But Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." In this parable, Jesus is using a folklore that is well known back then to speak to people who did not always observe the law to care for the poor. In his group of followers, tax collectors who took more money than what was required by the government at the expense of the poor, and the sinner who failed to observe the law of Moses and the prophets perfectly, and the Pharisees and scribes who were with them were perhaps the target audience of this parable. He warned them that without recognizing God's law to be the guide to how they interact with their neighbor, the gospel of his crucifixion and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin would be unconvincing. I have found, and perhaps you have as well, that some people want forgiveness without acknowledging their sin. The rich man wanted forgiveness and mercy from Lazarus without acknowledging his wrongdoing and ignoring Lazarus's hunger. The division or chasm that was fixed appears to be made when he or we fail to see our sin and seek reconciliation with those we sin against. It is hard to reconcile with people that haven't admitted their wrongdoing, and therefore it's hard to offer them grace, which we have received in Jesus Christ, in our baptism, and in Holy Communion. We can see it in our society when we fail to recognize or see those hungering right outside our gate. Reconciliation takes truth and grace. Without truth, where the law is lifted up in acknowledgement of how one has transgressed, the chasm can be so great that reconciliatory grace cannot happen between those we hurt by our selfishness. Of course, those who are baptized can thank God for their forgiveness in Christ Jesus when we confess our sin and trust in His grace, that His grace is sufficient for us. But it's hard to expect someone to be in reconciled relationship if they have not admitted how they've hurt us, or if we've not lifted up the truth in love and given opportunity for God's grace to heal the chasm that divides us. Often, like the young mothers or my friends, we do not wish to be judged by our failures, for it is agonizing to be in the place of the dead. And whenever we sin, it's like we're in the place of the dead. Yet often, we do not want to hear the truth that we have failed to live into God's law of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Leonard Cohen once said, "Pay attention to the cracks, for that is how the light gets in." The good news is that Jesus came to fulfill the law, which we cannot, but He did not abolish it. In our baptism, we have been judged by God for our sin, which Jesus took upon Himself on the cross, so that we might be lifted from our sin when we turn to Him to acknowledge our failures and trust in His grace given to us freely in baptism. In baptism, Jesus overcame the great divide we create between ourselves and those God calls us to have compassion on and help. We Lutherans know ourselves to be sinners and saints. We're sinful and are made saints through Christ's righteousness and His forgiveness on the cross, given to us freely in baptism. And so when we sin, we find ourselves in the place of the dead, having ignored God's law for self-indulgence. And yet, on account of Christ's grace and our faith in it, we can pay attention to the cracks, admit our failings, and entrusting that in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, His grace is sufficient for us, and we are forgiven, washed clean of our sin, and raised from the dead to new life, loved by God, to try to love our neighbor as ourselves once again. This is a daily journey of confession and forgiveness, of trusting that God's grace is sufficient for us, of responding with joy to God's grace by trying to love more like Jesus. In this parable, Jesus lifts up the law of compassion for the poor, as the Abrahamic laws have always done. It follows a long line of parables in the Gospel of Luke, where the writer reminds us that there is hope for us sinners still, as he writes about how God's love extends to sinners, apparent in the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, the repentant brother who squandered all of his father's property. He reminds us how Jesus drew near to tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees, lawyers, and scribes with grace, and who are now following Him on this journey to Jerusalem to the cross to take on our brokenness and the brokenness of the world, to heal our divisions, to love, and to send us out to love others as Christ first loved us. Friends, on account of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, we can pay attention to the cracks, for we all have them, and we can give thanks that that is how the light gets in. For those who hear today's gospel reading as all law and are quick to throw up our hands in defense, saying, "Don't judge me. You don't know what it took to get to where I am today," perhaps we have temporarily forgotten who and whose we are in baptism. Our gospel reading points out that the law is necessary and supported by Jesus as he tells the parable using an old folklore. And yet the law is what shines the light on a room to show how messy it is. Whereas the gospel is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, who washes us clean of our sin in baptism and raises us to new life to love more like him each time we turn to him and remember our baptism. Whenever we hear the law, a Christian, and perhaps particularly a Lutheran Christian, we should remember that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it where we can't. And in fulfilling it, frees us from the chains of sin and death, giving us the freedom to love God and our neighbor as ourselves, not out of fear of obtaining salvation, but out of gratitude for his grace that claims us as his very own beloved forgiven child and promises us eternal life in him. And he joins us to God's great family, sisters and brothers in Christ here across the globe and in heaven at the heavenly banquet, and changes our mistakes into growing opportunities to love more like Jesus. This is good news indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.